Our next guest is my best friend in the whole wide world. And on February 3rd, 1982, he and I scored 5 goals between us against the St. Louis Blues. Please welcome the great Grant Mulvey. Hello, Grant.
Hello, Bill. How is my best friend doing? And Wendy, how are you doing? How's your, how is everybody's family? Bill, how are the girls doing? And Wendy, how are the boys doing?
Everybody's doing great. You are so sweet.
That's why he's my best friend in the whole wide world, Wendy. There's no nicer man than Grant Mulvey. Forget it.
I know. I love the way that you try to make me feel like I belong, even though you two are best friends.
Well, remember, though, you know, it was you that put us together.
Right. Yeah, I met Grant first, quite honestly.
You get a finder's fee for putting us together as best friends.
Pay up.
We don't have any cash.
That is so awesome.
How are your grandkids, Grant? Everybody doing well?
Oh, they are just unbelievable. They were actually very excited this morning for Valentine's Day. The three boys are the 6-year-olds in kindergarten, and the twin boys are in 4 years old, and they were all going to school and very happy to have a nice Valentine's Day at school.
Remember how fun that was in elementary school, where you'd write out all your Valentines the night before, and you'd decorate a shoebox, and then you'd get tons of Valentines the next day.
Yep.
That's when I loved Valentine's Day.
Not anymore, though.
Well, it's just
not anymore.
It's different.
You were so popular, Wendy. You were so popular in school that you would get tons. How about the poor guy like Bill and myself that we didn't get tons? We were lucky to get one,
and that
was from our mom, on Valentine's
Day.
Our mom would spend. Yeah, she'd send us one.
If I had an overabundance in my little decorated shoebox, I would go put it in other kids' box if I noticed they weren't getting some.
I wish I went to school with you.
Oh, Grant.
I might not have these hang-ups.
Grant sent me a Valentine, Wendy, and it's an adorable bear, and it says, "I can't bear to not have a best friend like you." That was from Grant. I got it this morning.
I'm glad you got that, Bill. I was a little nervous that Bill the Bear was not going to be able to deliver.
No, they got it to me first thing in the morning. It was great. Thank you so much for that, Grant.
Should we not have a little bell there to, are they sponsors of you?
Not yet, but we're working toward it.
They better be.
We'll get them on.
I think we should have a vomit sound effect, quite honestly.
Grant, tell us about the Blackhawks. It's been such a crazy season. There's been ups, there's been downs. You never know what you're getting. What can we expect the rest of the way from the Blackhawks?
Well, first of all, in our lifetime, as a Blackhawk fan, I don't think you could ever see a better leader or leadership than the 4-5 people in the dressing room, started by Jonathan Toews. That dressing room was completely broken. Humpty Dumpty had fallen off the wall.
Yeah.
And somehow, Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane and Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook held that room together. And Jonathan Toews as the captain and Patrick Kane as their true offensive leader, and then the two guys on defense, I just can't speak enough about how that team could have broken down and fallen down and been done. And those four guys held it together, assisted the coach in his transition, and played, made sure that everybody was accountable. And now they are 4 or 5 points out of playoff hockey again.
So what's the key to that, though, Grant? It's one thing to do it, but how do you do it? I can't imagine how they could be so inspiring. What methods do they use?
I played with a couple of guys. Stan Mikita was one. And in junior hockey, I played with a guy named Danny Gare. Here in Chicago, the captain when we had success was Terry Ruskowski. And these guys are special people. Keith Magnuson, they were special people that really guided our ups and downs. And, you know, you can have a good group of leaders in the dressing room, but like all things, you need a captain on the ship. And Jonathan Toews has done a marvelous job this year. And you don't know how, Bill. You just don't know how these guys lead the way, because when they're the leaders, they find a way.
About a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, there was some talk that the Blackhawks might approach some of the core guys that you just mentioned. Most notably, they were talking about Duncan Keith, that they might say to him, Duncan, it's up to you. Do you want to stay with the team or do you want to go elsewhere? We can make a trade. Do you think that's still in play, or do you think that with this winning streak that we've had, maybe all that's gone away?
Well, I think in the you have to look at, probably Duncan has to look at his life in the next 5 years. And where is he going to make the most money? He was very fortunate. And now it's been a long time ago that he was one of the very few first guys to sign a multi-year contract under the new collective bargaining agreement. And it was a big contract for hockey. It was $5.5 million. Well, today they're signing them at $10.5 million.
Sure.
And so, is Duncan Keith capable of another 5 years making, you know, a lot of money? And I think he is. He skates extremely well. He's heady. He's got great hands. He's able to do that. Now, where's the team that he can go to that can fit in? I don't know that. I would say that Duncan Keith is an anomaly when it comes to being underpaid and older. That can he get that a new contract that can make more money than he currently is making?
Yeah.
And that's a decision that he and his agents have to weigh in on.
All right, your thoughts on Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane playing on the same line. I know you're trying to share the wealth and make each line strong, but they seem to work well together.
I'm a huge advocate of put your power where it belongs, and it belongs together. And I like the Magic. They've been able to find a little bit of magic that they had when they were younger, and I think it works extremely well.
And DeBrincat is awesome. I gotta tell you, Alex DeBrincat.
Yep.
Yeah, he's got a very quick release, and in today's game, it's funny. They don't have the big wind up, and they don't have the big slap shots, and they have quick releases, and the puck's on the net quick. And these sticks that they have now are incredible, and their hands are a lot higher up in the shaft of the stick than they were when we shot. And DeBrincat has very quick hands. He lets the puck go. I like the other kid, Kajulia. He's got a little grit to him. And I think that Strom is playing exceptionally well. He's found a home. And I like some of their young guys. Gustafson on defense is a real fun watch.
So we're on a big losing streak. Then we get on this winning streak. Then the Bruins, not good the other night. They are playing tonight. Are we still in the running for a possibility of playoffs?
Yeah. We're like, I think, 5 points, 6 points out of a playoff spot. And
totally doable.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's lots of time left. And I think that the Blackhawks have to, it's a real question mark. You know, how do they look going into the next couple of months? And I would really want to see them make a solid run for the playoffs. And I think that their leadership, Patrick Kane is he's been playing fabulous. There's talk about Corey Crawford coming back and, you know, giving their goaltending just a little boost. And I think that, you know, they could surprise the world and be a playoff team here when it comes into April.
Oh, that would be so nice. My best friend in the world, Grant Mulvey, is on the line. We're going to take a quick break and then more calls, more texts, and more of Grant Mulvey. That's coming up in just a little bit. Still live, it's Wendy Snyder. Grant Mulvey is our guest. Number 22 on your scorecards. Number one in your hearts. Grant Mulvey, everybody. Grant, text has come in.
The mighty
go on, Wendy.
Blackhawks. Grant Mulvey.
Oh, you changed the words.
Is Bill's best friend.
Yes. And so true. So true.
You guys are too funny.
Grant, somebody wants to know why you think the Blackhawks didn't play better in the final days of Coach Q. What do you think happened where they just seemed to lack motivation there?
That's a great question. You know, it's not a matter of lacking motivation. I think it's really a feeling and the sensitivity around thinking that there is going to be a problem by a change of coach, or, you know, the players feel that, and that there, it's very sensitive in the dressing room. The dressing room has to be a place where it's there's trust involved, there's security involved, and when there isn't that involved, you don't play. You're not all on the same page, and I think that really was the problem, was that everybody was not on the same page. And you hate to see something like Joel getting removed, but, you know, it got to a point where it probably couldn't be solved. And it's a very sensitive area.
It's so funny because people in the game or near the game understand that, but for most of us, just casual fans, you say to yourself, Joel Quenneville's a guy who, if he wanted to coach for the next 20 or 25 years, who would the Blackhawks say would be a better fit for the team? And yet, I guess a change had to be made, I guess.
Yeah, you know, it's I went through a few changes in my hockey career, sometimes there's a group that really likes the coach, and then there's a group that dislikes the coach or doesn't understand the coach and doesn't know how to relate to the coach. And I think the world of Joel. I think he's, you know, and he's going to, if he wants, he's going to have another job wherever he wants to go. And, you know, that message will be Joel's message, and he will be a very effective coach in that dressing room. But once that dressing room breaks down of that trust and that security the players have, we're a very young team, and these guys were 21, 20, 19. Yokohara was like 18 years old. Jeez. If there was any confusion in there, they had to, there had to be a real trust built back in. And I think that's what ended up happening.
Yesterday, we were talking to one of our sales guys here at WGN, Kevin McDonough. We were talking about hat tricks. Of course, Tays has had one, Patrick Kane. And I said something about, I would never throw my hat onto the ice. And Kevin McDonough mentioned that Troy Murray says, oh, yeah, I've kept a few hats. Do you guys get to go through them and choose the ones you want?
Yes, absolutely. When you have a hat trick, you go through the hats and, oh, that's a very cool hat.
Really?
And in most cases, it's hats that, you know, the military hats, the Marines hats, you know, it's something to inspire you in the dressing room. And they, you know, back in the day, you know, the dressing room kind of, you were able to put a hat on top of your your area where you dressed in the stall area. And, you know, people always had one or two of the hats that they enjoyed, and it was mostly something that you didn't see often, and it was mostly probably a Marine or a Navy or Air Force, something from the military that would inspire you.
Grant, if people throw hats on the ice when you score 3 goals, what did they throw on the ice the night you scored 5 goals?
Themselves.
Right.
You got to choose a fan.
We got all kinds of hats. Nobody left the building with a hat on their head.
That makes sense.
But it was good for concessions the next day.
Yeah,
they didn't give me a piece of that, though. I should have negotiated for a piece of that
fair.
Concession. But we had all kinds of hats, and they couldn't believe it. They were starting to throw anything on the ice because they couldn't believe that I was actually going to score another goal, you know.
And some texter wrote, 3 of the next 4 Hawks games are against the teams with the 3 lowest point totals in the league, New Jersey, Ottawa, Detroit. Now's the time to get some extremely needed points. Your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. And you know that Patrick Kane deep down in his heart, Patrick Kane wants to win first. But second, he wants to win that scoring race.
Yeah.
And he has, I don't know, at one point he was like 1 point away, and I think the guy in Tampa has got 4 or 5 points. But he wants to stay close to him to be able to win the scoring race. They want to win these games here, and they're going to come very well prepared to win these games. I have no doubt in my mind that they will be prepared, and they will give their best efforts in these games ahead.
It's Valentine's Day, a great idea. Pucks and pizza. Grab your angel and watch the Devils go down tonight. Blackhawks, New Jersey Devils. I'm writing new jingles and stuff.
You should be a copywriter.
I'm doing that.
It'd be great. Grant, great to talk to you. Thanks so much for spending some time with us, and have a great Valentine's Day.
Yeah, a great, happy Valentine's Day to both of you and your families. I hope that Bill, the girls are doing well. And,
absolutely.
And Wendy, I hope the boys are doing well. So keep up the good work, and always fun listening.
Thank you, Grant.
Thanks, Grandpa Grant.
thank
it's Grant Mulvey, everybody. One of the best. One of the
I
absolute
love
best.
Him, man.
He's such a nice man. All right, we'll take a little bit of a break and then more show, including the news. Coming up, it's the Stories That Matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.